Let's just take a moment to be mindful of the presence of God, something you've already been doing for several moments, but give me a moment just to be aware of the presence of God. He is here with us. We are under His loving and merciful gaze. From Nehemiah chapter 8, today is holy to the Lord your God. Today is holy to the Lord your God. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Holiness is mercy. Holiness is love. Today is a day that is filled with love, saturated with love. Love surrounds us. Mercy surrounds us. Today is a day to be restored in dignity. Today is a day to be restored in our humanity. Today is a day to breathe deeply, to enjoy the freedom that we have as children of God. Today is holy to the Lord your God. Thank you, Lord, for this holy day. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made your own, the Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for this time of retreat, this space apart, the opportunity to be with you. Thank you for dignifying us by your presence, for looking upon us with love. Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be sad and do not weep, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be sad. There is a reason for hope. Do not weep. There is one who can wipe away our tears. Let us allow all of our sadness, all of our sorrow, all of our tears to be infused with the presence of God who is love, to be infused with His love, to be infused with His hope, so that our tears can be commingled with joy, so that our sadness can be lined with hope. Do not be sad, do not weep. God gives us permission to set that aside for a moment. Just as truly present is our sorrows, is His goodness, His love, His victory. As we celebrate this day of the resurrection, we look to you, Lord, risen. You entered into all of our sorrows and all of our tears, and you won. Life won. Light won. Love won. You won the victory. And we can rejoice in that victory even as we grieve and hurt because we haven't arrived yet, because we're still on the way, because the fight is ongoing, because the race is not complete. But we can already rejoice in your victory. Help us to set aside for a moment our tears and our sadness, that we can rejoice that you have arrived. And because we are connected to you as your body, we too will arrive. Absolutely, without a doubt, we are confident in your victory and confident that you will carry us through to the end. Do not be sad. Do not weep. For today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. Help us, Lord, to find strength in rejoicing, strength in our joy. We want that joy to come together with sadness as we want light to shine into the darkness. But at least let us build up a reservoir of joy today. Give us a reason to rejoice. Help us to focus on your victory, your resurrection, your unconquerable life, the determination of love to break through, even as little plants find their way to break through rocks on desolate cliffs, as little flowers have a way of coming up in the desert, as trees have a way of surviving so far from water, stretching their roots such a great distance. Give us a reason to rejoice today as we see the indomitable power of your victorious love. Help us to build up a reservoir of joy that we can bring that together in our prayer, in the final hours of retreat, that we can bring it together with those places that we're struggling and suffering, those things that we will go back to as soon as we end retreat. Help us to bring those together with a reservoir of joy that we build up by keeping our gaze fixed on you today, on your goodness, on your gaze that looks back at us with such depths of love. Help us to be taken into your embrace and to find strength in your strength, to recover our sonship, our daughterhood, in your fatherhood, your unshakable fatherhood, your unending fatherhood. Help us to recover our dignity today as your beloved children. Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad, and do not weep, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. And let us pray together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. If you'd like to stand. And the response is, Lord, create a new spirit in us. Let us praise our loving Redeemer who gained for us this season of grace and pray to him, saying, Lord, create a new spirit in us. Christ, our life, through baptism we were buried with you and rose to life with you. May we walk today in newness of life. Lord, create a new spirit in us. Lord, you have brought blessings to all mankind. Bring us to share your concern for the good of all. Lord, create a new spirit in us. May we work together to build up the earthly city with our eyes fixed on the city that lasts forever. Lord, create a new spirit in us. Healer of body and soul, cure the sickness of our spirit so that we may grow in holiness through your constant care. Lord, create a new spirit in us. Let us join all our prayers into one as we pray in the words our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just wanted to respond to a couple of your questions. A very important point someone brought up is distinguishing between forgiveness and reconciliation. And I think it's a helpful distinction that we could say simply, forgiveness is one way, reconciliation is two way. So we can forgive without being reconciled. We could add, we must forgive. That's what Jesus says. He who does not forgive his brother from his heart will also not receive forgiveness, as we pray in the Our Father. So we can forgive without being reconciled. Now, obviously, we always want to work toward, pray toward reconciliation, but that requires the other half also to be willing and able to move forward, which is not necessarily going to be the case in this lifetime, to be clear. But as the forgiveness really goes deep in our hearts, we can pray for that, be open to that, and then, you know, see how the Holy Spirit directs us in that way. But it's a very important distinction. Forgiveness is one way, reconciliation is two way. Forgiveness is obligatory. We have to work toward it, pray for it at least. But reconciliation, we're not in total control of that. Even God doesn't end up being reconciled with everybody because people choose not to be reconciled with him. Hopefully in eternity that works itself out, but we don't have any guarantees of that. Somebody asked me about listening and how we can listen better, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in the conference so that person can tune in to the conference. And let's see if there's something else substantial here. Someone also asked about the Pope Francis actually alluded to this too recently, but sometimes it's easier to love our neighbors than our families. We could probably all identify with that. Even Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his native place, right? So he was recognizing how difficult it can be to make progress with our families. And that's, you know, I take it from his observation that it's part of the human condition that we tend to, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, that we tend to be less open to our own families than we are to strangers. So part of the positive dynamic of that is that it prevents us from becoming totally insular. It requires us to keep interacting with outside, you know, persons and groups, and we need people. We need an infusion of otherness into our lives. And so I think that's part of how God works it, because he wants to make us one big family, but that happens by multiple families intersecting, and in that way we build bonds beyond our families. If we could just sort of do everything in an insular way in our families, then we could end up becoming a cyst, you know, kind of cutting ourselves off from anything, everything. He doesn't want that. So I think he keeps this dynamic open. But as much as we can, we should certainly open ourselves to receiving from our families and also finding ways to reach out into our families. There's so much that we learn in the context of the family, formed in the family, and Pope Francis is emphasizing in a special way how important the family is. So we need to keep growing in that. But anyway, to not fall into despair that sometimes we need an outside voice to come in. Sometimes somebody else says exactly the same thing that mom says, but I listen to somebody else. Well, okay, you know, that happens. So mom has to be careful not to become a nag, right? That can close the heart even to somebody else's voice. But at the same time, mom can't become indifferent either. And so that's where there's a little tension there, and you can't legislate that. What, you know, there needs to be an openness. The Holy Spirit can can guide that. But it is a challenging dynamic in our families. Pope Francis pointed it out to religious. He said, you know, when it comes to works of mercy, sure, you may go out and care for this prisoner and care for that homeless person and care for that school child and care for this. He said, but what about your brother that's in the infirmary? Are you caring for him? I had that experience when I came back from Calcutta. I was expressing to one of my confreres. I'm like, wow, it was just so beautiful being with the dying, you know, feeding this guy and being with the little children and the orphanage for the mentally and physically handicapped. And I was telling him all these stories. He goes, so you're going to start spending some more time in our infirmary? It's like, maybe. You know those guys? I mean, like, it's not nearly as interesting as the random poor people in Calcutta. So we do have to challenge ourselves that way too, that we don't just neglect. I keep asking the Lord for some grace to be at work there. And just a couple of real kind of quick, totally off-subject things. One person, I preached a retreat this past September on Blessed Carl and his wife, the Empress Zita, primarily on Blessed Carl, and I'm a delegate for the cause for his canonization, so I wanted to promote devotion to him. Someone asked me how his cause is proceeding. The only way for a cause to proceed at the point if someone is blessed is if there's a miracle in play. Once a miracle is approved, which goes hand in hand with the decision to canonize, there are other reasons to not canonize someone, but anyway, the miracle is a necessary part of that. The Pope can make a decision to canonize without the miracle, which he did with John the 23rd. He canonized with only one miracle. But anyway, there is a miracle that's under investigation. I believe it completed the diocesan process, and it's under investigation in Rome now. It's a pretty compelling case of a guy who was dying. The doctors did everything they could. He was bleeding out inside. They couldn't do anything to help him. They called his family in. And he's Protestant, but his mother was friends with a priest who had a devotion to Blessed Carl and brought one of those third-class relic cards and placed it on his chest, you know, asked his permission, can I ask for the intercession of this saint? Placed the relic card on his chest and prayed, and he's totally healed. And that was several years ago. So, I mean, it really is a total and ongoing healing. And so immediate, total, and lasting. Those are the three important characteristics for miraculous healings for the cause. So they've interviewed the doctors and interviewed the family and interviewed the priest. And they've done all that at the local level and then has to get sent to Rome. And then they do their own investigation in Rome. So thanks for asking, and thanks for continuing to pray for his intercession. Beautiful, blessed. We believe he's in heaven. Canonization gives the papal seal of approval, which has a dimension of infallibility to it. When the Pope canonizes, beatification is actually done, although with the Pope's approval, it's not a solemn act of his papal office. That solemn act, that kind of definition, happens in canonization. So it's, you know, the Vatican's very careful about taking a lot of time to validate those things. And then just one last kind of, I don't know, random question. Somebody was asking about getting recordings from WAOB. And the short answer is just send an email to the contact us on the website, which ends up going to me, and we can send you recordings of different things. Slowly, I'm starting to find another kind of random way to make those recordings available. You can go to a blog that I'm starting to create called Faith Footprints, one word, faithfootprints.wordpress.com. And you'll find I'm starting to post a few things. Basically, when people ask me for things, I send them the copy, and I also put it there so that you can share the link or whatever you want to do. And In an ongoing way, we need to hire another computer programmer. So if you know a computer programmer who is looking for a job and does good work and probably is Catholic enough to be willing to get paid a little less than you would out in industry, computer programmers are very expensive. So it would take a little bit of zeal for the mission. But if you know someone like that who would like to make a contribution, we'd really like to build a massive database with any kind of authentic Catholic audio in it. You know, not just our programming, although we certainly, that's the ground for us, but we would like to extend that so that any, there's lots of good Catholic programming out there, but it's impossible, it's hard to find it. You find a little pocket here, a little pocket there, but we're working with the Catholic Radio Association. We'd like to really just kind of create it and hand it over to them, and they would like to pick it up and run with it, but we need staff. need a good programmer. So anyway, pray for that. God does amazing things through prayer.